Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Now, we're going to be talking about from a personal perspective of a very successful businessman who is in Juarez, Mexico, as we speak. And this is a man that went through his own journey. And the reason that he wrote his book titled Equilibrium, 12 Ways to Spread Your Wings and Fly, is because he walked a journey that he feels that in sharing that journey with you, you may realize that you have an opportunity to have a much richer life, a much fuller life, enjoy your successes, and be able to pass along the best of what you have to other people. I want to welcome Daniel Mendez to the show. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, Donna. Thank you so much for having me on your show. It's a pleasure.
Well, it's an absolute delight. Daniel, you are a man that has been involved with the law. You're an Oxford graduate. You have had such a very successful background, but you're one of those rare men that decided you wanted to share your experience of life, especially the spiritual side of your life. Why is that, Daniel? Why is it that you are willing to write about it, your ups, your downs, your insides, your outs, when most men will keep it to themselves?
Well, because I think it is our real essence. I think we are only here for a while, playing a particular role that will maybe last for decades, but it's only role-playing in our core essence, in what really defines us. As human beings, there is this spiritual dimension that really, really gives the essence to everything else we are. And to me, that has always been a great passion. Everything that has to do with the afterlife, with the most fundamental questions of every human being about where we come from and who we are and where we are going, really.
You have a quote in your book. In fact, it's right at the top of your very first chapter. And your chapter is entitled, Enjoy Your Field Trip. It's the first time I've ever heard life called a field trip. And you said, no one is to be called an enemy. All are your benefactors, and no one does you harm. You have no enemy except yourself. And that was a quote from Francis of Assisi. Now, you really go directly to the point in your book right off the bat by saying we've got to break the duality that people feel exists in the world. Would you express that understanding to us, please?
Sure, certainly. I think many of us have been raised under very strict Catholic or Christian educations. Me personally, I was raised in a Catholic home, and we were raised under the conception that many of our personal features or many of the things that are interesting or appealing to us are bad, and we must stay away from them. We must refrain from doing anything that may contradict the moral rules or the dogma that is imposed on us by these religious institutions. But I think that in the most part, those rules, that dogma has been infused by the fear, of us maybe going to hell or maybe straying away from the path that God supposedly wants us to take. But I think that following that path really takes away a big part of us, because the way I see it is that everything in creation, including light and darkness, were both created by God, and that contrast allows us to make better choices, but also considering the experiences and the lessons that we can learn in, when we venture into following or learning maybe our dark side. You know, we all have a dark side. We all have limitations. We all have impulses that maybe fall out from this strict canons or moral rules, but these are part of who we are, and I don't think it does any good to deny them or to just pretend that they're not there. We really have to embrace our darkness. We really have to embrace our shadow, as some authors call them, and in that sense, break the duality to become a complete person. You know, not embracing our own darkness will be like living in a big mansion and only occupying half of it. But that's the way I see it, and I don't know what you think.
Well, one of the points that you bring out as having been a successful businessman, that your journey with your spirituality and incorporating it into everyday life was something that you had to really be very mindful about. You had to start paying attention to what was going on around you, and that's difficult for most people at their best. And you make a comment in your book, and I'm going to quote from it. You say, "I live in a city and a country that have been severely damaged by insecurity, corruption, impunity, and ineptitude, not unlike many other countries, but we're not doing much to change it or force our authorities to do something effective about it. If we could channel and focus our ego correctly, we would take the actions necessary to claim what is ours." My goodness, here in the U.S., people would probably say, "Oh, can we relate to what you're saying?" And that has to be very frustrating. There are so many people right now with all the political hoopla that's going on that are experiencing this tremendous feeling of frustration, almost to the point where there is an apathy saying, "Well, what difference does it make? Why should I do this, or why should I do that? Why should I be involved in my community? Why should I even vote? It's a waste. It's just a waste." Mm-hmm. You have seen both sides of the coin. Actually, the edge, too, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So what would you say to someone when they're in this bucket of thinking, not able to let that go? You can't, if you stay in that kind of thinking, you go backwards. You do have to put action out. What would you say to someone that has that attitude, whether it's with politics or the job that they have or their personal life? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I think that a big part of finding that balance is to integrate your spiritual life with your material life. I believe that when you have a very well-grounded spiritual life, that is a big motivation to do something in this material life. You cannot separate both. I think that to the extent that you have a real spirituality, that will somehow ask you to do something for others and to do something that will in some way change society, because the evolution, the liberation that the universe wants us to have extends to everything in life, extends to your family, to your home, to your city, to your neighbors, to your friends, to everyone in every facet, including business and education and everything else in between. I don't think that letting things in society get out of handle or just simply go their own way without any regard to our spiritual nature is a wise choice, because what we have seen, I guess what you and I have experienced, is that when our spirituality does not infuse these aspects of life, then the society turns on us because we create a society where it is more difficult to be spiritual because we are all focused on attaining material benefits. Or like you were saying, I think what you were saying is very important. We somehow come under a spell where we are not simply care about what politicians are doing, about what the financial authorities are doing, and I guess, for example, as you may have heard recently, there was this big scandal about Liberate, about how banks in London were lying about their credit scores in order to have bigger rates. But I didn't see any outrage out there. I didn't see many articles. It was just as a small dream, and people didn't really care that much about it. They were more focused on the Olympics, and I think that's terrible. I think people should care more because that is hitting you and me and everyone else directly in our pockets. But that comes precisely from the fact that we are not considering this life on Earth as what heaven should be. We think that heaven is a concept more related for the afterlife, and I think it shouldn't be that way. I think we have a call to create heaven on Earth right here and right now, at least for us and the people around us.
I thoroughly enjoyed your chapter on the return of the goddesses. I loved your comments in that chapter, and I thought, boy, this man is really, really thinking things through. And one of the statements that you make in the book, you say, all of you goddesses that are reading this book, come forward and help us to restore order and equilibrium. Would you? And I thought, this is the first time I have read in a book anywhere of a man, one, recognizing the power of the female, and two, actually writing it down and dedicating a whole chapter to women and recognizing, again, their strength. And you bring out a point that I find so fascinating. And he said, some people, you say here, some people a long time ago decided that it was women who made men sin, whatever that was. Therefore, there were all of these false ideas that were put out that women were bad. But one of the points you said is no responsibility whatsoever was allocated to men. Well, we find that in so many various examples through life. And this has gone on for thousands of years. And it's just so refreshing to hear from you and to read your commentary on the positioning of women in society and how important it is that they start standing up. In your culture, women were suppressed quite a bit. In the United States, we've only had individuality appreciated in the real sense, as far as the law goes, for it's like 75 to 80 years ago, maybe just a little bit more. I mean, this is something that goes on around the world. It's great to have this in front of me to be able to read it. This is terrific.
Yeah, thanks. Yes, I think I truly believe that women are the more evolved species. You women are more sensitive, more intelligent, more organized, more nurturing, and you really are more powerful in many ways. You are capable of giving birth to a child without anesthesia and do things that we men can only fantasize about. You're able to work full time and still take care of a home and children, and somehow juggle everything without the pieces following. And however, I think that using force, using our force, we men have somehow subdued women and submitted them to our power, and instilled a big fear. I think we, many women in the world right now are victims of the fear of men, and not only of to the power of men, but also to their abandonment or to not having the support from men. And I think that one of the big changes that we need to have right now is for women to take their place and to leave this bad spell, this bad dream in which they think they are not capable, and or they think they're not smart enough or they're not good enough. I think if to the extent that women are able to reclaim their power, we will have this big shift, this change that everyone is talking about in regards to 2012. To me, it has a lot with the restoring of the feminine energy, and not only in women taking their place again, but also in us men recognizing that we have feminine energy, and we have to recognize that and celebrate it, and use more our right hemisphere, and be more loving and caring, and not just trying to conquer the world as we usually do.
I think your comment in your book, you quote a salutation from the Mayans, and if I mispronounce it, please correct me, Lakesh. And you said,
Lakesh,
it means I am another yourself. What a fascinating greeting to give to someone. In East Indian culture, it's namaste, which is honoring the divine within a person. So this is just another way of expressing that. And you say in your book, there's no need to fight or maintain divisions among us men and women because we're two sides of the same coin. And I think that that is such a healthy attitude. When I think of how many times men have been discriminated against, and they've been discriminated against by women for certain jobs, certain environments, and vice versa. And when we can get past that and get to the point of saying, if you're qualified, go for it. If this is really what you want to do, if you want to fly a jet, gals, go for it. Guys, go for it. If you'd rather be a gardener, do it. If you want to stay at home and take care of the babies, it doesn't make any difference whether it's the man or the woman of the household. We just need to let that stuff go. And I think you're right. With the starting of a new cycle of the Mayan calendar especially, it's not to be approached with fear. It is to be approached with an understanding that it is time to wake up. It's time to make a shift, so that we bring in healthy changes that are needed, not just in the U.S. or in Mexico, but around the world. And so people understand that we're all just a huge family here, and we may have different colors of skin. We might speak different languages, but we're all part of the human race. It's there. And when we can work together as a team, we're going to get a lot more done.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think you're totally right. The way I see it is that collectively in this earth, we could maybe think of women as one side of the brain and men as another side of the brain. We both are complementary to each other, and we need each other. And it's not about swinging the power and go from a patriarchal society to a matriarchal society, but to have an integrated society in which we both share the power and authority, and most importantly, love. I think if you think, for example, about love as the most important characteristic of God and everyone that wants to follow a spiritual path, well, if you want to love everybody and love God, you also have to do it in a manner in which you take into consideration your male and feminine energy. For example, you need your male energy to give love, to spread love, to take love everywhere around, and to take it especially to the farthest places in which people are having trouble to eat, to find shelter, to have clothing. We need that male energy to really open up spaces and let everybody achieve higher states of well-being. And we also need that the feminine aspect, because when you give love, there is also the other part of the equation when there is someone receiving love. And only to the extent that we allow ourselves to receive that love with that feminine energy, we are able to continue the cycle of creation and evolution, to nurture ourselves, to feed our spirit, and in that way have more energy to spread more love around. I'm not sure if I'm making my point clear, but it's both aspects of creation, really.
I concur. I liked what you said. You said sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, and instead of making life a game, we make it a soap opera. We give too much importance to the little things that we know that are trivial, but we'll always have two options. We can carry them with us indefinitely, or we can deal with them and return to a state of joy and happiness as soon as possible. And then you made another comment, simulated joy and happiness are like a bad plastic surgery job. I like that. I said, I get a few visuals. I know people that have had bad plastic surgery jobs in their faces or whatever, just aren't balanced. And I think your point is well taken. I do think that is what we often have the greatest control over. And what intrigued me is that through your book, and it's not a thick book, Equilibrium, 12 Ways to Spread Your Wings and Fly, you also have some music, and we're not going to be able to play any, but by Raul Buelna. Now, Raul is quite a guy, and 8 dragonflies. How did the dragonflies and Raul, what do they mean? How did they come together?
Raul is a friend of mine, and we met each other in an event in which he was playing his music. And what I like about his music is that he uses these binaural beats that allow an integrated operation of your brain to balancing your right and left hemispheres, which is by itself a healing experience, because in our Western society we are more accustomed to use only our left brain. We're not really, in general, we're not really that used to also use our right brain, and that creates some mental deficiencies or disorders, according to psychologists. And this music, just by listening to it, it helps you to balance both mental activities. And the dragonflies, that has a great meaning to me, and I guess you saw that in the book. 8 Dragonflies is really the brand under which I will publish my following books, and that's why I threw the name out there. And there's a chapter, the last chapter of the book is called The Dragonfly Breakthrough, and it just gives you a brief history of how a dragonfly is born. Usually, every time they're born, they are born as a small insect called a nymph, which is born underwater, and it spends a lot of time there, maybe even up to 5 or 6 years, and only until one day they find a small straw or plant, they crawl their way up, and when they are out in the air, they start their final mutation. And that's when they become a dragonfly, but they only have a few months to live. They can spend 5 or 6 years underwater, and then they will only have 5 or 6 months to live once they are in the water. But when they become a dragonfly, they are the fastest and most powerful insect on Earth. Their wings are at least 20 times stronger than the wings of other insects. Their 4 wings work independently, unlike the butterfly wings. And that gives the dragonfly a lot of balance. And they have these sets of 30,000 eyes. And for all those reasons, they have been a great symbol in many spiritual traditions. They symbolize the union of our material and our spiritual nature. They symbolize the balance. They symbolize the healing. In Indian tribes, I learned recently from an Indian elder that in Indian tribes, they use the dragonfly wings as a supplemental powder. That's like the only medicine they really needed for to have a great health.
Interesting.
And I think that really sums up what we're going through right now. It's time for us to leave the illusion, to marry our spiritual and material nature, to marry our bright and dark side, and to marry our feminine and masculine energy, and allow ourselves to fly free and under the sky, and live with the illusions, and live with plenitude and happiness, without regrets, without remorse, and just, you know, follow our bliss, as Joseph Campbell used to say.
Mm-hmm. One of the comments that you make in the latter part of your book, you say, modern science is validating what ancient traditions have been telling us for thousands of years, and every day more and more people are awakening from their illusions and realizing that there's something beyond what they have learned. And that sort of brings us full circle with what we started out chatting about at the very beginning of our sharing the information about your book, Equilibrium. And that is that we do need to pay attention to what's going on. We do need to wake up to our own potential. And what I like also about your book, you have some lovely meditation exercises that are scattered throughout the book for different reasons. And this is a very important part of your life, is having the meditation and the visualization. And having spent some time in seminary so many years ago, even though you are a business executive and you work in law, this is something that you have found, Daniel, has kept a very good balance in your life with you, your family, and with the people that you work with. And I think that that is something that we need to realize, that our spirituality, we don't have to wear a banner on our back, but we just need to be at peace with it and know that it's going to flow through our lives and it's going to enhance anything and everything that we do.
Mm-hmm. I agree totally. Yeah, I'm fascinated by all the findings and research that is being carried out in the Institute of HaRMath, which I'm sure many of your listeners have heard about, and by many other scientists and researchers who are finding out that our heart is much more than a blood pumping machine, and it generates a lot more electricity and magnetism than our brain, because that is really confirming that we're not supposed to only navigate through life using our brain as our comprehension device, but we also have to learn to listen to our hearts. In our hearts, we can really find all the wisdom that God deposited in us. In our heart is when we can really find out who we really are, more beyond reason. And intuition is one of the traits that we have to start really using for ourselves, not only our reason. And if you ask me to maybe sum up in a few words what this balance is all about, I would say that it's about opening our hearts. Many people nowadays talk about raising awareness and consciousness, but I think it really has more to do with opening our hearts to be more loving and joyful. And that's not just, you know, neat words and pretty words to make every listener feel good. I'm talking to you really as someone who has acknowledged that our feelings are important, our emotions are powerful energies that help us to really be more conscious creators. And we're to the extent that we are able to follow these emotions and feelings together with our thoughts, that's when we can really transform our lives even more. At least
Daniel,
it has been
wonderful having you as a guest today. Your book, Equilibrium, 12 Ways to Spread Your Wings and Fly, is a wonderful read because it comes from your perspectives of experience. You've got wonderful tips inside. And Raul Buelna, he is a man that has written music. And people, if you're interested, those of you listening, go to raulbuelna.com. That's raulbuelna.com. And you'll be able to download free music there. Also, check out Daniel's site, daniel-mendez.com, daniel-mendez.com, and you'll find out all kinds of good information, including details on his dragonfly workshops and more. Mm-hmm. Daniel, thank you for being my guest. For those of you listening, we're taking a break. Don't forget, check out the site, RaulBuelna.com, Daniel-Mendez.com. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Awaken to Love, Gifts from spirit. For those of you in Washington State, an incredible event is happening on September the 15th at 6 p.m. at the Roosevelt Hotel in Seattle. This is a fundraiser for the Ascension Foundation's healing and educational programs. Guest speaker Dr. Pat Basile leads the program. You'll be able to experience messages from loved ones with Monty Burgess, hear magical healing tones played on crystal bowls by Shauna Touche, and watch internationally renowned apport medium Michael Shane demonstrate his amazing skills of materializing objects. This and much more, including a silent auction and wine tasting, you'll be able to enjoy. Tickets are $75 per person. To pre-register or for more details, contact 800-508-6437, 800-508-6437, or email info@michaelshane.com. This is one of a kind and an event that you're not going to want to miss. Donna Sebo here. Welcome back to the show. Telephone lines are now open. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call into if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. I want to mention tomorrow we are going to have as a guest the healing power of coffee, Cal Ori. What a job this gal does when she does her research. Coffee, my goodness, millions, and maybe I should say billions of people around the world love their Java. And it comes in cappuccinos, espressos, I mean, you name it. There's so many different combinations. Well, we're going to get the lowdown on this wonderful, wonderful fruit that is one of the biggest industries in the world. Oh, and I have promised you, I wanted to let you know, the cheesecake recipe that I did the experiment with, and for those of you that got the newsletter, you know what happened with that cheesecake. But anyway, I wanted to share the recipe with you because it is so easy. I have a friend that no matter what she does, when she goes to make a cheesecake, it's just a disaster. It never works out. This recipe is awesome. So in a few minutes, I'm going to share it with you. So get that pad of paper and pen handy. And for those of you that want a gluten-free cheesecake, I'll tell you how you can do that and a little bit more. So grab that pad of paper and pen, and we'll be able to share that with you in just a moment. Sissy Spacek, now she's an Oscar-winning actress, and she wrote a book, My Extraordinary Ordinary Life, and she used her mother as a basis for the book that she wrote. She said, "You're here to make the world a better place because you've lived." I think that's a marvelous way to look at our lives. If we took on that attitude that who we are makes a difference, and we focus on being the very best we possibly can and dealing with the now to the best of our capacity, and looking at life as a glass half full instead of half empty, my goodness, we're going to have an impact that's often going to ripple out to others. It's going to be mind-boggling. So I really liked her statement, you are here to make the world a better place because you have lived. And I think just about all of us can think of an individual that never did their face appear in a newspaper, on the front of a famous magazine. They just were considered an average individual. But by having the quality of character and dedication to whatever they did, and love for whomever was in their life, they made changes. They affected people. Thoughtfulness, compassion, kindness takes the rough edges off of life. And Lord knows, we all experience those rough edges. I don't care who you are in this world of ours, it's going to get you one time or another. So how we work with life does make a difference, and I wanted to share that with you. Okay, I have this cheesecake recipe. I've just got to share it with you. And eventually it's going to end up in my newsletter. So if you ever decide you'd like to have a free subscription, then just send me an email and that'll be fine. Now this, I know we've got a caller. Let's take the caller and then I'll do the cheesecake recipe, okay? All right, let's go to this caller. First name, and I'd love you to have your first name or your initial, and where are you calling in from?
Tina from New York.
Hi, Tina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Now, Tina, the first thing that's coming into my mind is a picture. And I'm seeing tears in your eyes, and you're managing to control them because they're just right at the very outer area of your lower eyelid. And I think through most of your life, you have tried to discipline yourself where you don't wear your emotions on your sleeve. And I want to say it's time for you to release the past. There is something that is in the process of reactivating some old memories. And it looks like these memories bring old wounds with them. And you're trying to suppress it. And what I'd like for you to do is know it's okay to go through the emotions. Now, you can do it privately where nobody else is around if that's your choice. That's fine. There's no good or bad about this. But I think instead of regurgitating something that has wounded you for so long, those wounds need to heal. And you need to be able to let the stuff come up. If you want to have a good cry, put yourself in a broom closet or someplace somewhere and have your 15 boxes of Kleenexes and just let it out. Or write, or paint, or if you feel like running 5 miles, get those emotions out because they are a toxicity in your environment, not just of mind, but body, spirit, emotion. And you want to get that toxicity out. Lay it to rest. If nothing else, have a funeral service for the past. Just say, you were there, it was experienced, God bless, I release you. And have a mock funeral service in your mind. Bury it. But you've got to recognize it, and you have to have integrity with it, because it's sabotaging you. It's causing something to develop, an old image. It's like a ghost when I'm looking at it. And it becomes so emotional for you, the ghost ends up gaining a life, and it's just a ghost. It doesn't have any life to it. You need to honor yourself, because it's time for you to go for what you really want and to really know that, one, you're going to achieve your objectives, and that's multiple objectives, the plural, and two, you're going to be financially solvent, Tina. You need to let the past be buried. And right, the grieving, you need to go through it. It's not going to last for very long, but you need to allow the tears to flow. So if your environment doesn't give you that permission, per se, then do it privately. Make it okay.
Right.
And you just do it on your own and just say, this is no longer me. And have a funeral service. I know I'm repeating myself, but it's important because this needs to be laid to rest. This is no more a part of you than the man in the moon. It isn't a part of you. It is a part of a memory. So you need to reconstitute that memory so that it is going to empower you, not disempower you, and move on, because 2013 is going to be dynamite for you. It really is, but you've got to get through this before, apparently, I would say October 17th to November 11th. So there's something going on here that's going to trigger it, and I want you to know you're the boss here, not the memory.
Right.
What question do you have for me?
Well, I think this will make sense what you're saying, because I'm having an open house this Sunday, and I've been trying to sell my house and try to move on to North Carolina with where my children are, and I haven't been successful, and I just came down another $17,000. I've been doing this for 4 years, and I'm just stressed out, and I'm hoping that I'll get some offers this Sunday.
Well, I would just say release it. You've got to let it go. You're trying so hard. You're so stressed and you're so anxious. Let it go. The universe knows what it's doing. So let it go. You're going to have a buyer for this place. But you've got to let go of the stress, because that stress is felt by people that come into the house.
Right.
You've got to let it go. It's just, okay, I know there's that right person that's going to want to buy it, and I'm just going to change my attitude. But you, there's something else going on here. And so there needs to be a release of the house. Now, mentally, you may think you have it, but there's something else going on here where you've not released the past. And that needs to be dealt with. It wouldn't surprise me if you end up selling your house within, I'd say, 3 to 4 weeks. But you've got to be real about really letting go of the past.
Right. Okay.
And the fear. Don't be afraid.
And the fear. Yes, that's me. I'm always fearful.
Well, if that alone could drive people away, because they walk into your home and they're going to feel your fear. And they'll say, I don't know why I'm not comfortable here. Believe me.
Yes.
I know that. That's happened. I walked into homes when we were looking for a house years ago. Walked into the home, had that feeling. I said, I want out of here. Sure enough, I found out people had gone through a very stressful situation, and everything, all of that energy was in the house. So shift the energy here. I've got to go to break.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome,
I'm waiting,
Tina,
for the cheesecake recipe.
Oh, good. I want to share that with you. It's so yummy. We're going to take a break.
Thanks.
We'll be right back. This is Donna Sebo. Don't go away.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now. Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com, that's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N, and find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007, that's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Have you ever wanted to be in an environment of people with unique psychic abilities? There's a special event taking place on September the 15th at 6 p.m. at the Roosevelt Hotel in Seattle, Washington, that will give you that opportunity. Dr. Pat Basile will be the guest speaker for this healing program. Michael Shane, Shauna Touche, Monty Burgess will be demonstrating their individual talents in mediumship and music, answering questions you might have. There will be a silent and live auction, wine tasting, and much more for you to enjoy. This fundraising event is for the healing and educational programs of the Ascension Foundation. Awaken to love and experience the gifts from Spirit. Cost per person, $75. To pre-register or for more details, call 800-508-6437. This is a one-of-a-kind event you won't want to miss. Call now, 800-508-6437. Donna Sebo here. I know you're waiting for that cheesecake recipe. Let me tell you something. I have a whole back to recipes. And I happened to watch a cooking show. And I looked at it and I said, isn't this interesting? I'm thinking about fixing a cheesecake. And I happened to turn on the cooking show. And what is the gal fixing? She's fixing a New York cheesecake that's like 4 inches high. And it's huge, absolutely huge. And I love cheesecake. I think good cheesecake is just absolutely fabulous as a dessert. Yes, I know it can be rich, but it's a fabulous dessert. And it has such a wonderful consistency and texture to it when it's made right. Well, I have this old recipe. And when you read my newsletter, you'll see where I goofed when I was making this cheesecake. And I made it this past weekend. And even with the goof, it turned out deliciously magnificent. So let me give you the recipe, and then I'll tell you some adaptations you can make. Now, here is how the original recipe reads. 1.5 cups of fine graham cracker crumbs. 1.5 cups of fine graham cracker crumbs. Now, you can do that in your Cuisinart, your blender. Zoop, zoop, and you've got them, they're done. Or you can just put them in a plastic bag and use a rolling pin to crush them. You're going to need 1/3 cup of brown sugar, 1/3 cup of brown sugar, 1/3 cup of melted butter, 1/2 teaspoon ground cinnamon. You're going to need 1 pound, 16 ounces of cream cheese, 2 eggs, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar, and 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract, and 1 cup of sour cream. You're actually going to need 2 cups of sour cream, but you're going to have to separate them. You need in 1 cup portions. Now, when I went to make this recipe, some of the ingredients I didn't have handy. And I got distracted because of things that were going on in the family room at home. And I didn't do it exactly the way the recipe called, but that's the basic recipe, okay? You've got that. Now, let me say this to you. If you want a gluten-free crust, use nuts. You can grind your nuts, and it can be almonds, it can be walnuts, it can be Brazil nuts, it can be pecans, whatever you prefer. You could even use cashews if you wanted to. But I'd recommend, for texture and flavor, my preference would be almonds first, because of what I'm going to tell you that I did, and then walnuts second. Now, again, all of the ingredients need to be at room temperature. And because I was fixing it in the morning, I put my ingredients out the night before. That's right, my cream cheese, the butter, everything was there. And your first 4 ingredients, your crumbs, the brown sugar, your butter, and your cinnamon. You want to mix those together because that's going to make your crust. Now, let me give you another tip. If you have, as I did, chocolate cookie wafers, I pulverized those. Those went to make the crust for my cheesecake. You could use any kind of leftover cookie that doesn't have a filling in it. So you could use chocolate chip cookies. These are just suggestions. Use what you have, and it'll give a whole different texture and taste to the crust. Now, what you want to do, once you've got those first 4 ingredients, the crumbs, the sugar, the butter, and the cinnamon all mixed together, you want to take out 3 tablespoons of that crummy mixture, and you want to set it in a little bowl to the side, because that's going to go on top of your cheesecake. The rest of it, you put it into a buttered 9-inch pie pan. I used a deep dish pie pan. I didn't use the shallow one. I used a deep dish. Worked perfectly. Now, what you do, you cream your cheese, get it in your mixer, and let the mixer do the work. Then, when it becomes nice and soft, because it's at room temperature, you add your eggs one at a time, beating them thoroughly after each addition. You add your sugar, your vanilla, beat it until it's blended, pour it into your pie shell. You do not pre-bake the pie shell. You just pour it into your pie shell, and you bake it then in a preheated oven at 350 degrees for about 35 minutes. Now, you'll need to check to see if it's firm. If it jiggles in the middle, then just let it sit for another 5 minutes in the oven. And then, of course, it's going to have to cool, and I recommend just turning the oven off and letting it sit in the oven, maybe with the door open, and letting it cool, coming to room temperature in the oven. And that's going to take a couple hours because the mixture is pretty dense. And then, I forgot to tell you. In the recipe, I told you needed 2 cups of sour cream. 1 of those cups of sour cream put into the batch of the batter. That's right. You just zip it in with the cream cheese and the eggs and all of that. Just add a cup of the sour cream. The other cup of sour cream you're going to put on top of that cheesecake when it is totally cool. And then you sprinkle whatever crumb bottom you have made, and in my case, it was a chocolate, and I put it over the top. And this is just absolutely going to be wonderful. Now, let me tell you something. If you want a little bit of a different flavor, and you want a little bit of a different taste, use your almond extract, use an almond nut crust, and you're going to find the flavor is just really different. You also, instead of having sour cream put over the top of it, you might want to try something else. You might want to say try, if you have a chocolate cookie crust, in fact, that's what I made, then I, of course, used the chocolate crumbs, but you could also shave chocolate over the top of it. Or when you serve the cheesecake, you could have a fudge sauce on the side. Oh, my goodness, I could go on forever, and I'm out of time. Oh, for heaven's sakes. This is Donna Siebel. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And if you want that recipe, check out my newsletter on my website, DelphiInternational.com. Time's gone. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Thank you so much for being with me today. It was a delight. Have a magnificent day or evening wherever you are in this wonderful world of ours. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.